If it's Monday, that cheerful blinking light must become the cheerful voice of Annie Dugan. Good morning there, sunshine.
Good morning, Lisa. It's a great week, as always, in the Northland for art. And art and film, because the two cross over quite a bit. And North House Folk School up in Grand Marais is doing a winter virtual film festival this month. They used to always do a film festival in person, but of course had to reconfigure this year. And so all of January, the entire month of January, they are highlighting films and offering films through their website. So you just go to North House Folk School website and click on the Winter Virtual Film Festival. They are highlighting films of folks who are doing really interesting handmade, hand-done things, works, crafts, all of these, how makers, they're focusing on folks who are making things. So for instance, last week they focused on a documentary called Sign Painters, which highlighted folks today who are still doing this hand-painted craft of signs. So big, small, they looked at the, you know, if you're a person who is interested in fonts, they look a lot at, you know, how do you have a sign that, captures folks' attention if it's just in text. And it's really wonderful look at this tradition that has been around for quite some time and looks at the folks who are still practicing it today. So every week they highlight something different, and it's wonderful to see what they are looking at. And speaking of film, Alan Killian Moore has a movie that is a documentary that is available called Unweaving Unwound, both through the Duluth Art Institute and through Alan Killian Moore's page. You can find it. It's on the work of Tia Kiel Baumfang, who was an artist who had a public sculpture that I talked about this summer in the Sister Cities Park. It was a installation piece that included weavings to its name that were really striking. There was three beautiful yellow, orange spaces. She's an architect as well as a sculptor, as well as a an artist, and she used all of those things in this piece that looked at how we're connected to our past and to our ancestral past and the things that it looked at trauma. It looked at traditions. It was a really powerful piece. And I think Alan Killian Moore did a wonderful job of capturing those layers to it. And when we think of weaving itself, we think of bringing together all of these different stories. The medium itself has a lot to do with what she explored in the piece, and his work as a filmmaker, he helps the piece come alive in interesting ways as well. So he uses, you know, split screens. When we think about weaving and bringing together these two fabrics, he uses these split screens that bring together these different ideas. So visually, he's trying to do some interesting parallel explorations that have resonance with the original work. James Woodfill is also an artist who has work online right now. He was scheduled to have an exhibition with the Joe Neese Gallery and had to, of course, reconfigure things. So if you go to the Joe Neese Gallery, you can find James Woodfill's Code Practice. There's short animations that are his answer to what he was supposed to have in the gallery, but you can enjoy them online. These are animations and explorations of technology and our relationship with it. The subtitle of the work is Certain Practice and Certain Systems. And it's an interesting reflection on certainly our digital culture now, and so much of our art is through ones and zeros and these days. And so it's interesting to have someone who's exploring and investigating that as well. a couple new exhibitions. Terry Glemman has a exhibition at the Nordic Center online called Dala a Day. She decorated a Dala, you know, the Scandinavian horse figure. She decorated one a day. And so if you need bright colors, which I think a lot of us do right now in these monochromatic days, you can check out Terry's work at the Nordic Center. She did a walkthrough on the 9th and a walkthrough of the gallery, so you can watch her walk you through all of the wonderful color and tradition that she had through that exhibition. And then I want to highlight that the Duluth Art Institute is doing a free Friday activity. Every Friday online, they release an art activity. And this is something that families can enjoy, but it's also something anyone can enjoy, whether you are with children or not. And it's either, you know, something that you can do. You can print out the download the activity and do it with a good old-fashioned pen and paper. You can do it online as a walkthrough, but there's always something coming out just for you locally from our local organizations as well. It's a great week, as always, Lisa. Go out maybe virtually and enjoy it.
You don't even need to do that. I just want to say, having made a trip up to the Saxon Bog again over the last few days, I was just having actually a little conversation with Laura Erickson over text earlier this morning about how with my lousy eyesight, it took me 59 years to realize that there's such a thing as an evening grosbeak and that it is bright. The males are bright, bright, bright yellow.
Aww.
With the blackest black and the whitest white on them. And they are stunning. And if we didn't have them in the Northland, we would be going, oh, wow, they're like parrots. They're like, oh, they're magical. I mean, you see a macaw, you're like, okay, it's blue. You see an evening grosbeak, and your head explodes. And you're like, how did I not know that this was this beautiful color?
So watching we have these wonderful,
oh, it's
bright
amazing
spots of color in our Northland. And maybe that's why we have gray this time of year, so that our evening grosbeak can shine all the brighter.
It's amazing. Well, and then there's the whole issue of iridescence and how magpies, which again, I didn't know were up here. Okay, I'm really slow on the uptake with a lot of things. Someone took a photograph, a beautiful photograph in one of the local nature groups of a magpie. And it looked as though the bird was black and teal and white. And in reality, it's just the iridescence and the feathers and the way the sun hit the feathers. And again, head exploding. If your eyesight is not great, and if you think every bird is a little black and brown thing, and every squirrel is just kind of a little grayish brown lump, get yourself some binoculars, get a good camera lens, whatever you might have access to, and start looking around. It's life-changing.
Looking outside is the best thing we can do these days, I believe.
It certainly is. Annie, thanks a million for joining us. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Lisa. Take care.
Annie Dugan, our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Mondays here on Northland Morning.